Welcome to Voices of Freedom.
Love Hope Radio.
Hey, it's great to have you here. It's Monday morning. We woke up here in West Virginia, and we got a little bit of snow on the ground, and it was kind of crazy. It's melting real quick, but nonetheless, it was a little shocking to wake up and see that. Of course, we had predicted over the weekend some crazy weather, so maybe not totally unexpected, but nonetheless, there it is. So I want to talk about the Lord is my shepherd today. I know when I say that verse, a lot of people will start thinking about the 23rd Psalm, and that's where we're going to go today. And a lot of people will say, oh, I know that Psalm. Do you really? You know, and I'm not trying to be mean to anybody today, but do you really know that Psalm? You know, do you really know any background on that? Do you really know about King David? He's the one that wrote that. And believe me, I think David learned at an early age to follow the Lord. Then I think he might have got off track just a little bit. But then I believe that the Lord let him come back in, right? Because he asked God, and he asked for forgiveness, and he asked for another opportunity. And so I believe when we ask God for another opportunity to come in, that he's going to let us. And what I want to get across in the message is, don't follow Brooke Lunsford. If you follow me, you're going to make a major mistake in your life. But if you will follow Jesus Christ, and you'll get so close to him that when he slows down, you feel him bump you, then you're going to find something. Then you'll find something that matters. And I think so many times, you know, we deal with people and we go to different places. I was at the nursing home yesterday, and, you know, these folks, you know, they can't speak and they're getting older, and, you know, they wish they could go on, and they just, maybe they're a little bit weak in the hope of things. And by the time you talk to them a little bit and you tell them that Jesus loves them, and by the end of the day, you know, their head's up and they're smiling a little bit and they're trying to talk to you a little bit. And I just think that God looks down on that and he says, now that's what I'm talking about. Now, he's not talking about that because old Lunsford here did it, but he's talking about that because we've got a bad habit of giving up on people. We've got a bad habit of getting people out of our lives and, you know, I don't want to be bothered or moving off and not having to take care of family. Whatever your excuse might be, you know, for the job, for the career, for the whatever, you know, I think there's a moment in time, or more than a moment, I think any time, how about that, that somebody's willing to sit down with some people, that there would probably never be any way that those people could have done anything for me, right? But yet you boost them up a little bit. You make them smile a little bit. You might see a little bit of a tear, and you can encourage them about the day that they will get out of the wheelchairs and they'll run in a place called heaven. Now, I tell you what, those are the days that feel really good as a preacher. Now, as a preacher, there's days that are tough, and there's times that you just feel like you're not making progress. In fact, you might feel like you're going backward sometime. But I want to talk about the Lord is my shepherd. Because no matter what I go through in life, I have learned the good, the bad, and the ugly. And the key to the whole thing is Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. And that's how it's going to be for me to the very end. I pray he'll protect me and hedge up around me. I'm no match to be out here fighting the devil one-on-one, but I'm told to be bold and be strengthened. Quit being a baby. Quit being a sissy. Grow up and act like an adult if you want adult respect, and get out there, Lunsford, and do something. So let's read another verse here. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, let's talk about want. It doesn't say here, I shall not need, because Jesus, back in Matthew chapter 6, tells me I can pray this day our daily bread. So I can pray for my daily bread. So it's way beyond. With God Almighty, it is way beyond my basic needs. Because he says, I shall not want. I'm not even going to want for anything. So not only are my needs met with Jesus Christ, and about all of us can say this in this country, the United States of America, that our needs have been met. And because my needs have been met, he says, I'm going to meet more than that. I'm going to have you in a position where you shall not even want. You'll lack for nothing. Wow. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. Now you start thinking, well, what good will that do me? Well, what this is we're a lamb, okay? The shepherd is over the sheep, and we're the sheep. We're the shepherd. And go back and do some research on the animals, and they are the dumbest animals in the field. So God, he matched us right up to what we are out there, okay? We're pretty dumb. In fact, how dumb are we? It says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Without the shepherd, I can't even get to clean water, and I can't even get to the food. Boy, have you come to the point in life when you realize that everything in your life you need to be thankful to Jesus for? Because there's nothing else out here that God's got going that's more important than you realizing, or that you've got going that's more important to realize that Jesus Christ is the power of the universe, and he wants this relationship with you. He's going to take care of you every step of the way, because that's what this is. Now, you say, well, this is silly. But look, food and drink, food, shelter, and clothing are the most basic needs of life. And he's going to lead you to finding these things. Now, if you go your own way and you won't listen, you end up addicted to drugs, and you end up doing things you shouldn't do, and you end up unemployable, and you end up all, you know, you really can't blame God for that. But what you can do is come to the realization that you've messed up, and you can call out to Jesus and say, Lord, please come and be my shepherd, because I can't run this thing myself. And that's about how my prayer went, because I understood I couldn't do this thing. I was not able to be what Jesus wanted me to be, right? In the world, by myself, mean, angry, hateful. Nobody wanted to see me coming. Then I get to verse 3 here. It says, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. So, you know, one of the things about, you know, the Lunsford name is sort of synonymous with Milton, West Virginia. You can go about any place around, and people say, are you part of the Milton Lunsfords? Because everybody knows there's a bunch of them up there. So when I read this, and it says, he restores my soul, he leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. There's something in a name. The name of Jesus, the name of God, whether it's Yahweh or some of the other meanings of the name of God. Listen, there is no name more beautiful than the name of Jesus, because Jesus has the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father making intercessory prayers or praying on our behalf. Jesus will come back when the Father tells him it's time, and he will take those that believe in him out of here to a place that will, where the day will never end. So there's a lot going on here if you believe in the name of Jesus. So he's going to restore your soul. Boy, I tell you what, are you broken down today? Do you not even begin to understand about a hole you've been trying to dig out of? Boy, I've been there. I've been there in things that I thought would never end. Great day. I've been there in situations where I thought there is no way that this is ever going to end. There is no way that we're ever going to be able to get this situation lined out. There is no way, you know, fill in the blank, right? But he restored my soul when I got saved. Can I help you on that? Can you help yourself just a little bit on that? He restores my soul. So it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of death, right? Yea, though I walk through the shadow of death, the valley of the shadow of death. What's the big deal about walking through the valley of the shadow of death? I don't care how strong you are. There's a bit of unknown about death, and there is an opportunity there to cling on to something or to get bitter about something. And I see that a whole bunch with people. So as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Boy, it sounds good in theory, doesn't it? But David says, I will fear no evil. Well, why won't I fear any evil? It says, for thou art with me, Lord. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So the shepherd is going to put up his own life in order to keep the sheep safe. He's going to attack the lions. He's going to attack the bears. He's going to kill the giant. He's going to keep the problems away to protect the flock. And when 99 sheep are together and one wanders off, the shepherd is going to go and get the one that's gone. You follow me? Now, that's pretty big stuff. Somebody willing to die in your place, somebody willing to die to keep you safe, that's our Jesus Christ. Willing to die to give you eternal life, willing to die because he was sinless and all we do is sin. You see, born with a sin nature, it's all we could do. We had to be reconciled back to God. We had to come back. How do I come back to Jesus? I ask him if I can come back. I ask him to save me. I tell him what a mistake I've made out of my life. I tell him where I've come from. I tell him everything. And you say, well, God, if he knows everything, he already knows this. It's not for him to figure this thing out. It's for you to come to the realization that you've done wrong things, that the things that you have done have hurt other people. The things that you have done have ruined your life. The things that you have done have put you in a position to understand this is just the foretaste of hell. Because it could get worse. Or the Lord could restore your soul, like we talked about in the last verse. You could get saved. You could come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You could tell Jesus what a scoundrel that you are, that you recognize that you're a sinner, that you recognize you've made mistakes, that you recognize your life has been a shambles. That's why it's so hard for people who think everything's going good in life, or for people that have a few things, it's very difficult for them to see a need for Jesus Christ. So Jesus came unto his own received him not. Well, what's the deal? See, Jesus is available to everybody, but not everyone's interested. So he came unto his own received him not. The other people, the rich man that he tried to tell about the eternal life, he had great possessions. Jesus said, hey, if you want to follow me, give all you have, or sell all that you have, give the money to the poor. The guy was brokenhearted because he lived through the things that God had given him. You see what I'm saying? There's lots of people, if you take away their job title, would be nothing. There's lots of people, if you take away their bank account or their house or their car, would be nothing. Lots of people, if you took away their position in the church, would be nothing. You see, that's the thing. We get so caught up in everything that when something's taken from us, and things can be taken from us quick. I've been around a long time. I've had some good jobs taken away from me, been given some good jobs. I've had some opportunities taken away from me, and I've seen some opportunities and ideas kind of swindled from me and used for other purposes. But it's what we're dealing with in this world, because Satan wants everyone mad at each other. He wants everybody looking the other way. He wants everybody saying, you're on your own, deal with your own problems, I'm tired of you. Whatever it is, that's where God's at in this situation. Excuse me. So, we don't have to fear the evil, not even of death, for thou art with me. That ought to be a big thing right there. You are with the Lord, and the Lord is with you if you are saved. The worst thing that could happen to you here, David covers in this verse. He says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I may see death coming. I may be able to smell death in the air. I may be on my way to the gauntlet. I may be on my way to whatever kind of death God's got prepared for me. But he is with me, and the moment that I'm absent from this body, I'm present with the Lord. So the victory's won because I see Jesus face to face when I take my last breath here. Do we miss our loved ones that have gone on? Absolutely. Do all the things they told us seem a lot more profound once they've gone on? I think that's sort of a human nature thing, too. Do we wish we'd have listened a little bit more? Do we wish we'd been a better son or a better grandson or a better neighbor or a better... Absolutely, we wish these things. But walking through the valley of the shadow of death, no one's going to cling to you like Jesus Christ will. That's big, folks. Verse 5. David says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." Let me tell you, the greatest thing in the world is the moment, and this has just happened to me recently. I hate to say it, but I'm 51. But there is a calm about the enemies I have in my life. Well, number one, I don't think I have a lot because I haven't, you know, haven't really been out there, you know. There's certain businesses you can get into, you're going to have enemies, you know, competitors, different things, you know. So I've kind of cut down on that over the years. But right now, I don't know anybody that just 100% hates old Lunsford here. But I've also come to the realization on some things that I'm involved in where there's going to be hard feelings, where people are going to be mad, where people are going to lie about me or even say the truth about me could even hurt, you know. People can hurt your feelings. But I've come to a position in life where I say, let God deal with it. Why? Because look at how he's going to deal with your problems. It says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." What does that mean? It means if I'm in Jesus Christ, saved and hedged up around, that there's nothing can take me out of the hand of Jesus Christ. And the people that hate me because I love Jesus, or the people that hate me because I preach, or the people that hate me because I'm running a Jesus First campaign, amen, all these people doing all this hating, you follow me? Guess what? They're going to have to sit and see me honored at some point by the God and creator of the universe. The devil loves it when people snap back on their enemies. The devil loves it when they fight back. The devil loves dissension. The devil loves aggravation. The devil loves chaos. He loves it all. But what's next? Boys, every knee's going to bow and everybody's going to confess the name of Jesus Christ. I'm already on the team. I invite you to get on the team. I heard some testimonies yesterday from a Gideon speaker. Jerry Lake came to our church, and I'd never heard Jerry's presentation before, but the most amazing thing about it that caught my eye, or caught my ear, I guess I should say, was the fact of the lives that people, I mean, I thought I told some testimonies, but I mean, there were some people that were down to their last breath. There were some people contemplating suicide. There was all this stuff going on, and God came into their lives, and he turned it around, and he took them off the other direction, doing fantastic, unbelievable things for Jesus Christ. So, if my enemies are going to have to sit and watch me dine at the main table, right, and my cup of oil is anointing my head and my cup runneth over, what is going on here? Listen, when I start to realize God's going to protect me, God's going to punish my enemies, I start to feel like a lot of the Old Testament prophets, I start to feel like a lot of the disciples, I start to feel like a lot of the apostles, I start to pray for these people because hell's fire awaits most of the enemies of God. Or all the enemies of God. But hell's fire probably waits for my enemies today. Because they're probably not forgiving. They're probably not saved. They're probably even using me as an excuse to say, if Lunsford is a Christian, then I'm just as good as Lunsford. And the devil is leading you straight to hell on that. And that's just the way it is. Because I said from the beginning, you stay as close to Jesus to where if Jesus slows down, you bump him. That's awful close, right? Now, if I follow through on all these things and I agree to be led by the shepherd and I'm a good sheep and I do the things that are necessary, it says in verse 6 that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So if I'm a little bit decent about the way I ought to act, and I surrender to Jesus Christ, and I ask him to lead my life, and I ask him to keep me away from all appearances of evil, and I ask him to keep me out of the crazy that's going on out there in the world, and I ask him to be with me and guide me and protect me and lead me beside the still waters and do all the things that you do for people that you love when you're the creator of the universe, there's going to be goodness and mercy follow me. But there's still something better. It says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How about you thinking on that for just a little bit? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, that sounds good. Where's that at? That's in a place called heaven in John chapter 14. Jesus tells them they're nervous, they're upset. Jesus said, I've got to go away. They don't know what to think. And Jesus tells them, let not your heart be troubled. Don't let this little bit of nonsense worry you. Because here's what's going to happen. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. So your house is not a house. Your house is a mansion. Many people may argue that, and you just argue it till your tongue falls off if you want to. But I believe that my God knows the difference. If his name is defined 100 different ways, I'm going to say he knows what a mansion is. I've got my mansion picked out. I hope you do. Surrender to Jesus Christ and change your life today. That's our prayer for you. Have a wonderful day. God bless.